can't win, Darth. If you strike me down, I shall become more powerful than you can possibly imagine.
That's what I like to see, bullseyes, every time. And you can do the same thing with Byard Barrels. As long as you do your part, the custom barrels that you get from Byard Barrels will deliver award-winning accuracy shot after shot. Byard Barrel specializes in standard and 1-in-9-inch twist match-grade 22 long rifle barrels for the Ruger 10-22 and AR-15. If you want to win, visit their site at ByardBarrels.com. That's BeyerBarrels.com. Or you can call Clint at 360-374-9476 and tell him you heard it on the Shooting Fence, would you? Let him know that his advertising money is doing him some good.
It took all the footage off my TV. Said it's too disturbing for you and me. It'll just breed anger, that's what the experts say. If it was up to me, I'd show it every day. Some say this country is just out looking for a fight. Well, after 9/11, man, I'd have to say that's right.
Welcome to the Shooting Bench on Survival Circle Radio Network, keeping you informed on guns, news, politics, guns, survival, preparedness, and guns. The tyrant is holding our country hostage, and our freedom is at stake. It's time to take a stand and tell the tyrant, we will not comply. Join me now in the never-ending fight against tyranny, right here on the Shooting Bench. All right, here we are. Welcome to the Shooting Bench. 27th of August. My goodness, it's going by quickly. Man, is there a lot of stuff to talk about tonight. Let me make sure before we get started talking about it, and I don't want anybody to miss anything, let me dash over here to the chat room and make sure that we've got sound and everything is going well. See who all's in there. Looks like AZ Bound's been there for a couple of minutes, and Desert Rat and the Tinker. Firewall made it in tonight. Welcome, brother. And Nan and Northwest Heavy and Pumpkin Cat and Yakima Glock and Tebow. Anonymous. There'll be a few more trickling in here in a little bit. Real quick, and this is very selfish of me that I don't send a text or an email or thank you to Tinker. Or send a whatever, text. But AZ Bound, since you're here, let me tell you real quick about the 338.6. I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time on it because everybody else has heard it. So let me just tell you what it is real quick. The 338.6 is probably one of the most awesome big game calibers out there. It's one of the most efficient big bore, or I don't know if it quite qualifies as a big bore, but it's bigger than a 30 caliber anyway. All it is a 30-06 necked up to 338 caliber. Simple to reload for. Factory ammunition's a little bit hard to find and a little bit expensive when you find it. There's not too many companies that make it, but Norma is one of them. but it's easy to load for, man. It's every bit as easy. It's a one-step resizing process. You just put your 338 resizer in there, make sure it's lubed up good, push it through once, and that's it. You will need to trim them after that. But once you do that, then you're set with brass that'll last you a long time. And the brass will last you longer than, say, 338 Win Mag, because the pressure is lower. I don't know why there's no attraction to the 338 Win Mag once you experience the 338.6. It's only about 100 feet a second behind the 338 Win Mag. It's easy on the shoulder, it's easy on guns, it's easy on barrels, it's easy on the pocketbook. And buddy, you got a lot of energy with that thing. It is an awesome, awesome freaking caliber. I love it. I've kicked myself 1,000 times for not looking into that and not having one many years ago. I shot a 30-06 for I don't know how many years, and I finally kind of drifted away from it and went with more with 308, but then the 338.6 came into my life, and my world was forevermore changed. And I have two of them now, and I'm going to get rid of one of them. The one is built on a brand new gun, and let me see. Nan says she has no sound. Does anybody else have sound? Because the Tinker said we had 5x5 on both servers. So let me double check here. That looks like sound, and that looks like sound, and that looks like sound, and that sounds like sound. And let me turn this on. If this works, then we're getting sound. And I don't hear any sound. So let me... That one says it's archiving. Everything says it's working. Let's see here. Before we get carried away. Okay, Nan says she has sound. Let me check. Got sound on both of them now. So I don't know what happened there. Okay, I was talking about the 338.6. Did anybody hear any of that? Specifically, did AZ Bound hear any of that? Let me know, and I will go back through it real quick since it won't be repeating since apparently nobody heard it. So, Pumpkin Cat just joined us. Welcome. All right. All right, the Tinker said didn't have sound for a minute or so I don't know how much you missed. So let's, I guess a minute or so was, well, I've still not got any sound on my little cotton picker here. So, AZ Bound, did you hear about the 338.6? Getting conflicting things there. Nan says no. I don't know what she's saying no about. I don't know if she don't have sound. Or... Okay, the Tinker said you missed everything up until he started on about the rifle. So, did we hear about the rifle? Where is AZ Bound? Where are you at? I'm asking you a question. And I'm not getting an answer. It looks like he refreshed and was just coming back. So he may be a little behind the Northwest Heavy refreshed. Everybody refreshed, looks like. Okay, AZ Bound did not hear about that. So let me back up and start over again. I don't know if you heard the date and everything, but it is the 27th of August. I've got that recorded on mine, so I don't guess it matters. It'll be on the archive, on the podcast. So, AZ Bound, listen up. I wanted to tell you a little bit about the 338.6. It is an amazing caliber. I wish I had started on it a lot quicker than I did. But Tebow heard about the rifle. so maybe I won't go over it again. I got up to the point, I told you it was easy to load for, it's easy on the pocketbook and all that, easy on the shoulder. It's about 100 feet a second behind a 338 Win Mag, but a lot easier on guns and a whole lot cheaper to shoot. If all you got to do is find some 30-06 brass, which is plentiful and cheap, and load it yourself, it is really, really easy. I'm getting out of a 225 grain bullet, I'm getting about 2,800 feet a second out of it. So that's not bad at all for that heavy of a bullet. And I don't have any of my loading manuals with me right now to tell you the what the 338-06 is. It varies a little bit with bullet weight. You can get 250s for it, and 200s and 225s, real common, easy to find. There's some armor piercing stuff out there that's 165, maybe up to 180, depending on who makes it and whether it's a tungsten core and a standard jacket, or whether it's like solid bronze. The solid bronze ones are 165 grains. So there's a little bit of information about that. It is an easy gun to shoot, and it's just the only reason I'm getting rid of one of the ones that I have is because I have one built on a brand new Remington 700 action, and I have both the ones I have Seiko extractors in them. They do not have the typical Remington extractors, which I think are kind of weak. They do pretty good until something happens to them, and then it's hard to change in the field. At least the old ones were. The newer ones are replaceable in the field, but I've put Seiko extractors in both of these, and they are replaceable in the field if you ever need to. Although they're good, strong extractors, and you'll probably never need to. But if you do, they're easy to find parts for, and easy to change in the woods if you need to. But the 338 has got a lot of horsepower. If you need to reach way out there for an elk or something, you want to get a good bear gun, buffalo, whatever. It's got plenty of poop for whatever you want to do, and still, since it's not super fast, it's easy on meat. You take something like a lightweight 270 or something like that, and you hit a deer in the wrong place, and oh my goodness, it's terrible. To even a 223, depending on the size of the deer and where you hit it. But this 338.6 is just the right velocity. I killed a deer, and I have pictures of it. That I shot at about 300 yards, 310 yards, I think it was. And the bullet went in forward of the rib cage towards the opposing shoulder, the opposite side shoulder, and literally cut the heart off. It severed the heart, and it was just hanging there in the membrane that supports it. And that deer walked about three steps and tipped over. And I could have taken all the meat that I ruined off that and put it in my shirt pocket. I mean, it was just awesome. No meat loss. And it's just a great, great gun. So there you have it. That's a quick rundown of the 338-06. Now, we have a ton of stuff to talk about tonight, so I need to get on with it here. I'm going to be talking about guns here anymore. I have no particular order. I have a whole bunch of things we need to go through, some more important than others. I suppose one of the most important things right now is Senator John McCain has bought the farm. And as far as I'm concerned, that's a good thing. I wrote quite a long deal on and put it on Facebook, and overwhelmingly, I've had, well, let me see if I can bring it up here. I've got, Well, that's a share. So let me see if I can find the original post here. There's another share. And, all right, there, I think that's it. All right, it's had, I have no earthly idea how many, it's got 102 comments. I don't know how many people looked at it. But let me explain this to you. Okay? I have, being a veteran does not automatically give you a pass for me. I've known veterans that were everything from pedophiles to animal abusers to thieves, bums, drunks. I mean, just everything you can imagine. So being a veteran in and of itself doesn't make you a living, talking God. All right? So I appreciate if your service, if you tried to be a good service member and you had the guts to sign up to start with, then that's a good thing, and I appreciate that. I support it and all that. But that can all go away when you become a lowlife, when you become a traitor, when you become literally an enemy of the people. Then your veteran status then all of a sudden means nothing to me. You have made that null and void by being a punk. And this is what fly on the wall. There's a new one there. I don't know who you are, but welcome to the shooting bench. Glad you dropped in. So I don't have, like I said, it doesn't automatically give you a pass. I appreciated John McCain's service exactly the same manner that I appreciated Benedict Arnold's. And everyone, every soldier, every service member, every cop, every fireman, every first responder or whatever, at some point, if something happens in their life, they can lose touch with us, with citizens, with their countrymen. And after a while, they can, and many have, become completely disconnected with our way of life, with truth, justice, and virtue, and all that. So those people at that point, at least some of them, become enemies of the people, not servants of the people. And that is exactly what happened to John McCain. I can't say that he was pretty much of a screw up while he was in the service. Was he a hero just because he became a prisoner of war? Well, depends on who you ask. Some will say yes, simply because he was there. Others will say, some will say that, just because of that they get a pass for it. I kind of lost my train of thought. I was reading the chat room there. But, okay, I'm not going to say too much about McCain becoming, as they say, a songbird. Everybody can sit here in the safety of your homes and talk crap about people that are being tortured and everything and talk. Everybody talks. Sooner or later, there are expert ways to keep you alive and do things to people that are absolutely unimaginable. You will talk at some point. Voluntarily or involuntarily, whether it's the use of drugs or whatever. So you can't really say too much about them singing. Like, if they're threatened with something and start singing just because they are threatened, that's a whole different story. But if they are in fact being physically tortured and they start talking, then you can't fault them for that. So I don't know exactly what all went on with McCain while he was a prisoner of war. He was a prisoner of war. We know that. But just because he did all that, you know, when he came back and became a politician, all that kind of went away. And he wasn't just a, and this is what I think about a lot of, most of the Democrats and liberals, and it's no longer just agree to disagree. It's no longer a political opponent, no longer someone that I just disagreed with. But they have become, and this should be so very obvious to most people, they have become an enemy of the American people. Of course, they call us an enemy of the state, but we are, we don't believe that. Of course, they don't believe they're doing anything wrong either. But John McCain has been an embarrassment to the people of Arizona for years. Everybody in the country, every conservative in the country, that are real conservatives, have looked at this man and said, you know, what's the matter with you people in Arizona? Why have you not fixed this problem yet? Well, what I said in this thing that I wrote is it's a problem, unfortunately, that can only be fixed by his death. He was deeply entrenched in the deep state. They were keeping him in there no matter what, no matter how sick, no matter how people hated him, didn't matter. He was, from what I understand, he was the deciding vote that kept Obamacare from being repealed. I mean, he has always been against us. He's voted for, two or three or four wars and then votes to cut veterans' benefits. What kind of person is that? But back to my original statement, just because he has done a few things here that on the outside look like he's done something good doesn't always automatically make him a saint. He's still a piece of garbage. Am I happy that he died? No, I'm not. I'm not happy. I'm not sad. I don't care one way or the other. What I am is I'm glad that he's gone. I'm glad that he's out of office. If he could have just gotten out and gone away when he was, his health started failing and everything and just let it go, that would have been, he could have lived until he was 129. I don't care. But he needed to get out, and the only way to do it was through his death. So that's now been taken care of, and hopefully we will be, as Arizonans, we'll be smart enough not to make this mistake again. What, the Tinker, that's funny. I just saw that there. So, anyway, that's Tebow, that's funny. I know you're lying. You said you haven't said anything about John McCain. Yeah, I know you did. So, and a lot of people say that I'm dancing on his grave. I'm not. I'm not dancing on his grave. I'm not peeing on his grave. I'm not doing. I don't care about his grave. I don't care that he's dead. I just care that he's out of office. And that's it. That's the only, and I don't want to, I haven't spent any time talking about his, on Facebook. I haven't put anything on there about the facts of his war record and all. Look it up if you don't know. Just look it. It's all on there. Go find it. He wasn't pardoned by Nixon, as everybody says. He was never convicted of anything. There was no reason to have a pardon. He did not get pardoned. So, but all that is irrelevant. All that matters is that he's out of office. Will the Arizona governor be able to appoint someone to replace him? I don't know. I'm not sure what the laws are on that. So I hope that there has to be a special election, but I don't know that for a fact. It's going to be very unfortunate if the governor can appoint somebody, because I'm afraid he's going to appoint someone that we don't approve of. But we'll see. All right, that's enough about McCain. Let's move on. He's gone. He's out of office. It's a done deal. Let's see if we can get things straightened up and take off here. The Sportsman's Warehouse is one. Get back on the gun thing. Just like I said, there's no particular order. I've got a whole bunch of things to talk about, and I'm probably going to run way over tonight. So I'm sorry for you guys on the East Coast. It may run a little late for you, but I'm still going to try to get some of this out of the way. A lot of this is kind of relatively time sensitive, and I just want to get it off my chest tonight. This is not time sensitive, and I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time on it. But it's nice that Sportsman's Warehouse, you know, after Dick's and Walmart and all these others have created their own rules for, you know, they stopped selling ARs and similar weapons, and they say you have to be 21 to buy a long gun, you know, even in spite of what law says. Not only their state laws, but federal laws, and they make their own policies. Well, Sportsman's Warehouse did not jump on that bandwagon, but people are jumping on the Sportsman's Warehouse bandwagon. Their gun sales have jumped up over 8% in the 13 weeks, the quarter, I guess, ending, is that a quarter? Anyway, 13 weeks ending August 4th, and they boosted their semi-annual sales to $383.3 million, which is a double-digit increase over this time last year. So they're picking up a pretty good market share there that people have abandoned Dick's Sporting Goods and Kroger and L.L. Bean and some of these other places, and they're going to Sportsman's Warehouse. We have fortunate enough to have a Sportsman's Warehouse right here in Sholo, and next time I need some. Of course, Cal Ranch is another one. Some of you may not have heard of Cal Ranch. It's a man's Walmart. They've got, you know, Western clothing and tools and stuff to fix farm stuff with and garden things, and they have a pretty nice little gun section. They did not jump on that bandwagon. Cal Ranch is a very nice store. It's a kind of a country Walmart, so to speak. They don't have food or anything, but pretty nice place. And they've been completely neutral in this political thing about guns, and they're just going on doing the same thing they've always done. And I do some business with them also. So anyway, boy, we got a lot of things to do. I'm going to take a quick break here and take a breather. I'm going to tell you all something before I do this. I don't know about your local stores there, but we have a couple of Safeways around here. And I went down there here a week or so ago, and I was standing at the counter, you know, walking out with my stuff, and this guy come up that he knows me. I didn't know him. He probably one of my students from way back, and I just didn't recognize him. But we talked for a minute, and he said, yeah, this pork here is pretty cheap. And I looked, it was a great big damn package of pork chops, or actual pork chops, sirloin chops, or whatever they are. And they were about 3/4 inch thick and as big as the span of my open hand, pretty good size. And it was like $4. And I said, are you kidding me? Are they rotten or what? Are they, you know, 8 weeks old or something? And he said, no. He said, I don't know what the deal is, but there's. So I went back there and looked, and by golly, there was quite a bit. I grabbed four of them packages. I bought $63 worth of meat for $12. And we had some of it tonight. And Amy tried a new recipe, and I'm going to tell you what. She done a fine job. It was way good. So I don't know why I feel the need to tell you that, but I felt the need to tell you that, and I've told you, so now we're going to go take...
I'll be back.
Hey, pretty baby, are you ready for me? Yeah, you could rock and daddy down from Tennessee. I'm just out off about San Antonio with the radio blasting and the bird dog on. Me and my boys got this rig around, and we'll come a thousand miles from a guitar chain.
If you're a country music fan, particularly classic country, join me, Cope Reynolds, every Friday night for Liberty Lounge right here on Survival Circle Network.
Nothing ever happened around my hometown. I ain't kind of just hanging around. But I heard someone calling my name one day, and I followed that voice down a lost highway. Everybody told me you can't get far on $37 in a Jeep guitar.
Absolutely the fastest 2 hours on internet radio. Liberty Lounge. Every Friday night from 8 to 10 p.m. Pacific, 10 to midnight Eastern. Right here on Survival Circle.
Thank you.
Welcome back to another segment of the Shooting Bench, right here on the Survival Circle Radio Network.
Yeah, I'm afraid we're going to run way over tonight. And welcome back to the Shooting Bench. Hey, I've got a new Facebook group I'd like for you guys to go check out if you're interested in this. This should affect everyone in the western states. Every western state, maybe not everything west of the Mississippi, it's probably not a big deal, although there is a slight concern, but it's probably not a real big deal in Texas and Oklahoma and some of those states. But every state, what you'd call the true western states, I guess, New Mexico, Colorado, Utah, North and South Dakota, Nebraska, Montana, Wyoming, Washington, Oregon, California, Arizona, all of those states are plagued with wolf problems. It's very bad here in Arizona. It's very bad in Washington. Remember we talked here not too long ago about that Forest Service employee that was run up a tree by some wolves that were not scared and didn't run away when the airplane or the helicopter landed, and they eventually did. They didn't have the opportunity to kill him. But I have decided here that there's just not enough stuff going on Facebook to make people aware of how serious this problem is. So I've started a new group here. And I'm not sure that I know how to do all this real well yet, but they call it a community. And maybe I did that wrong. Maybe I should have just made a page. But anyway, it's called the Federal Wolf Gang. So there's not much on it yet. I think I've got one article posted on there. I've just put it up. So you can come and like it, look at it, save it, come check it out once in a while. But there's going to be a lot of information on there about wolves. How much it costs, the damage they do, the attacks on humans, the expense to ranchers, the violation of rights and privacy of hunters and campers and, you know, recreational folks out there. Going to put a lot more stuff on it, not much right there right now, but go to the Federal Wolf Gang. And like it, check it out once in a while. I will be putting a lot more stuff on there this week. I have another guy in Washington that is he's a former politician. He's a good guy. I can't tell you who he is right now. But not that I don't know who he is. I just can't tell you who he is. But he'll be helping me with this as well as anybody else that wants to contribute stuff. There will be undoubtedly a lot of opposition, a lot of, you know, foul language and whatnot going on. They will be deleted immediately upon their discovery, but we won't be able to stop all of them for sure. So I'll get another moderator or two to help me watch this one, because this is definitely a hot topic. The Federal Wolf Gang, go check it out. Speaking of wolves, this just came out, it's a couple of months old, but this is from the Center for Biological Diversity. They are our enemies, and they're not good people. But they say that Trump is moving to strip protection from wolves across the country. So I haven't heard anything else about this. This came out, like I said, about 2 months ago. And it says they are considering a proposal to strip all the Endangered Species Act protection from nearly all the wolves in the lower 48 states, including the Great Lakes region. Now, there are some wolves up there, quite a few of them, up in Michigan and up in that area. But they're worried about making the Center for Biological Diversity is worried about making the animals vulnerable to trophy hunting and trapping. Well, it's kind of like McCain. I don't care if they're dead. I just want them gone. You brought him here. If they make it legal to kill him, then that's what's going to happen. And when there's none left and we can't find any, or the damage that they do is minimal, then they'll get a little break. But, you know, they have, I'm not even going to get into it right now. We'll spend another good portion of the show on that. But anyway, a lot of stuff going to cost a lot of money, a lot of frickin' money for these wolves. So we'll get into that a little heavier some other time. Federal Wolf Gang, go check it out. let's see here. Let's just start right over here. And what are you doing to me? Why is this happening? Anyway, Kennesaw State University down in Georgia. Kennesaw, if you remember back, oh, hell, a long time ago, in the, what was it, late 70s, early 80s, became one of the first jurisdictions to make it mandatory to have a gun in the home. And I've said before, you know, that doesn't make us any better than them. If you don't want a gun in your home, you don't have to have one. And of course, this is unenforceable, but with the implementation of this law, crime went down. They did a 10-year study on it, and armed burglary and stuff was down. Armed robbery was down like 83% or something like that. It was crazy. And like I said, it was even it was completely unenforceable, but it worked. And it worked well. Well, fly on the wall, you go ahead. You can go right ahead and report me to Peter. You can check out my address and stuff on my website. No. I know you're just being facetious. That's okay. Anyway. Okay, that's the history of Kennesaw. The new story about Kennesaw is that they cut 4 out of 5 cheerleaders that chose to kneel during the national anthem of the game. They dumped them. Said, no, we don't need you. Beat it. Hit the road. They didn't just take them out for that game. They are officially Burger King material now. They're out of there. So God bless Kennesaw, Georgia.
Thought that was a great thing. Speaking of fast food and Burger King and everything, did you hear about the tunnel that they found under a vacant Kentucky Fried Chicken here in Arizona? I don't remember what the circumstances were for finding this, but what's important here is to show how clever these people are, how much money they have, how much resources they have to do something like this. They found a tunnel from under this Kentucky Fried Chicken that went under the river and went to Mexico, obviously to smuggle drugs through and people. It's not the first one they found by any means, but this was a vacant KFC that haven't been used for quite a while, and they just apparently just went in there and pulled the blinds and went to work and built a tunnel into Mexico.
So they, I'm not for sure if this was, let's see, a sophisticated drug smuggling tunnel that went from a home in Mexico to an abandoned fast food restaurant in Arizona. Homeland Security said that got word in April that there was a tunnel leading into an old Kentucky Fried Chicken restaurant that's not in operation in San Luis, Arizona, about 200 yards north of the border. They started trailing the owner of the abandoned building and arrested him this month after finding several packages of meth, cocaine, heroin, and fentanyl in the back of his truck. So they, anyway, this led to a search of his home and all kinds of stuff. And thought that was quite a accomplishment there. So there was an attack on a bus. This bus was by an illegal alien. I mean, I guess that's the first thing to talk about here, is right in the wake of the death of Molly Tibbetts and the discovery of who did it and everything. So on this Monday, a week ago today, wait a minute, let me look here. Yeah, a week ago today. This story kind of slipped through the cracks here. It's not anything that they wanted to, for two reasons. Didn't want to get out. One of them because a legal CCW, legal armed citizen, managed to stop a guy with a knife that was stopping him from carrying out his threats against passengers on a Greyhound bus. And it seems that the knife-wielding Mexican here was a Mexican national and didn't count on an armed American citizen on the bus. According to different news outlets here, the armed Mexican national threatened passengers on a Greyhound bus driving through Fountain, Colorado. The individual was later identified as 47-year-old. They don't need to go through all that, but anyway, hooray for concealed carry. Moving right on to another totally unrelated subject. Let me go back over here to the chat room real quick and see what's going on over there. See if I still have anybody listening. Thank you, B-Lady. It is. I'm not sure. I don't know if I can. It's a community, so I'm not. I did all this on my phone. It's so much easier from laptop. Maybe I need to get on my laptop after the show and go in there and see if I can change that. But anyway, thank you for going and checking it out. The Tinker says it sounds like you got a pretty good storm going on there. We have this week for us looks like we're going to get a break. So that's a good thing. We've gotten a lot of rain. You know, this is you can think of this what you want. But the you heard over and over and over from me how dry it was around here, terribly dry, went on and on, and we just never did get our monsoon season that we normally get. It was way late getting started. And the church asked us for a statewide prayer and fasting for moisture here. And I'm going to have to say, I guess it worked, because boy, have we gotten moisture. The monsoons now have they were late getting started, but when they started, they've extended beyond their normal time, and we have damn sure got plenty of moisture. So, like I said, we're in the middle of like a 24-year drought or something like that, so we haven't got enough yet for everything, but it's wet out there, guarantee you. So it looks like, you remember Captain Mark Kelly? A little punk that's married to, what was her name? Gabby Giffords here in Arizona, the one that was shot down in Tucson. Well, he's come up with this brainstorm here, a veterans tour. He's got some people with him, Lieutenant Mikey Sherrill, Captain Chrissy Houlihan. I don't know if that's any relation to, what's her name on MASH? Captain Connor Lamb, Lieutenant Colonel Amy McGrath, Captain Jason Crow, Lieutenant Commander Gil Cisneros, and Commander Elaine Luria. They're going on this tour to apparently try to it says they think they're uniquely qualified. He says veterans are uniquely qualified to address America's gun violence epidemic. And we're crossing the country to show you why. What makes veterans uniquely qualified to address America's gun violence epidemic? Now, Mark Kelly may think he's uniquely qualified because his wife got shot, but, you know, he didn't do anything about it, stand around and wring his hands and cry. Why wasn't he there with a gun to stop and start with? So I don't know what makes these people uniquely qualified. And they don't either, because in their story they don't say why they're uniquely qualified. They did say about 80% of the jobs in the military are non-combat occupations. That's not what they said. I'm sorry, that's what military.com says. And there's a reason why the Constitution requires the military to be subordinate to civilian authority. But you wouldn't know that the way Gabby Giffords and her husband have latched onto the military as some sort of arbiters of allowed civilian firepower. It's up to them to find out, to let you know what they can, what you can have and what you can't. The it's kind of like the old days before the Battle of Lexington Concord there, when the military would unquestionably, not our military, of course, unquestionably follow orders to seize guns. Well, that's what they're trying to get people to get on their bandwagon here. I don't think they're going to have a whole lot of luck here in Arizona, but anyway. And speaking of shame in gun carriers, this is getting to be an epidemic thing here. The University of Utah instructor, she's since been, I think, fired. I know she's been suspended, but I think she was fired. She was suspended for this semester, and we'll have other assignments, and then they're going to go through some retraining and stuff. What she did was she set up a Second Amendment zone. In Utah, they can't, you can carry, if you got a concealed carry permit, you can carry a gun to your college classes. And this teacher didn't like that. So this complete and utter moron taped off a 3-foot square in the back of the room, 3-foot square. And everyone that was carrying a gun was supposed to stand in this 3-foot square for the duration of her class. Well, quite naturally, some of these people complained, and it didn't take long before she was removed from a class, and this stupid 3-foot square Second Amendment zone was abolished. But that's a little overboard to me. She said, if you feel that it is somehow at all appropriate to bring a gun to class, hint, it is not. This is absurd, antisocial, and frightening behavior. This was a written weapons policy that applied to her classroom, saying gun carriers would be forced to stand in this 3-foot square thing. If you feel it is somehow appropriate to bring a gun to class, you are restricted to spending your time in class in my Second Amendment zone, a 3x3 tape square on the floor in the very back of the classroom that will be shared with all other gun carriers. This zone also does not include a desk, because desks are reserved for students who respect the personal and psychological safety of their classmates and instructor. Unbelievable. Anyway, Republican State Representative Eric Carrie-Anne Lisenby said she got a copy of the syllabus on Monday from two students in the class, and right away she said, I am livid. A University of Utah professor doesn't understand the Bill of Rights and university policy on free speech, which is disturbing enough, but even more egregious, she is seeking to break state law and deprive students of their rights. And then she goes on her Facebook page to just repeat everything that I've just told you. So, the graduate student instructor has apologized and has received additional training about the university's policies. So she's going to continue to be a problem, I'm guessing here. Hey, you want to make $185,000, anyone? Let me go over here to the chat room and see if we still have anybody listening. I'm going to tell you how to make some money. I'm way behind on the chat room here. Let me see what's going on. Nan, it was the Federal Wolfgang. Yeah, thank you, Minnie, for putting that up there. B-Lady put a link right to it. Thank you, ma'am. Let me see what's going on here. NM Glock, brother, you got that right. There's a place for all wild creatures right next to the taters and gravy. That is a fact. Yep. Let's see here. Firewall, what's going on here? Oh, we're talking about a new gun you got there. I'll have to read that a little later. I don't want to. The fly on the wall? No, I didn't realize you were Doc. So, hello, Doc on the wall. Glad you made it. Let's see here. All right. Okay, let's move on. Like I said, I've still got about 4 or 5 stories to do. We're going to run way over time. That's going to probably mess up the tinker schedule here, but it is what it is. I got to get some of this stuff out of the way. Let's see. Detail last, the city authorities finally decided what this is. Okay, here's what you do. You want to. These people in San Francisco are freaking disgusting. Disgusting individuals. Sorry, low life. I can't even believe. They've had to come up with a poop patrol in San Francisco. And you know what the poop patrol does? They go up and down the street just like picking up dog poop out in the yard. They're picking up people poop off sidewalks and stuff. This is a real honest to goodness story. This is not from World News Daily Report or Your News Wire or The Onion or anything like that. The city's come up with this plan. The patrol will consist of a team of 5 staffers and a supervisor donning protective gear and patrolling the alleys around Polk Street and other brown zones, they call them, in search of everything from hepatitis-laden Hershey squirts to worm-infested logs. At the poop patrol's disposal will be a special vehicle equipped with a steam cleaner and disinfectant. So, while at first glance this doesn't sound like the type of job people will be knocking down human resources door to apply for, the San Francisco Chronicle has revealed just how much each member of this apparently elite poop patrol team will cost the city. Each member will make $184,678 in salary and benefits. $184,678 in salary and benefits for picking up crap. Now, I'll have to save $200,000 a year. I can pick up crap too. But these people are broke. The whole damn state is broke. So they're letting people crap on the sidewalks and then paying people $250,000 a year to go pick it up. How stupid are these damn people? Unbelievable. The surprisingly high figure is buried in the middle of the San Francisco Chronicle story on Mayor London Breed's morning walks along downtown streets with her staff, unannounced beforehand to her police force and department heads so she can view firsthand what common citizens endure on a daily basis. After quoting Mayor Breed, who acknowledges we're spending a lot of money to address this problem, yes, you damn sure are. The following San Francisco Public Works budget are presented. $72.5 million a year street cleaning budget. $12 million a year on what essentially has become housekeeping services for homeless encampments, $2.8 million for a hotspots crew to wash down the camps and remove any biohazards, $2.3 million a year for street steam cleaners, $3.1 million a year for pit stop portable toilets. They're putting portable toilets out on the street, and these nasty damn people are still crapping on the sidewalk. $364,000 a year for a four-member needle team. Additional $700,000 set aside for a 10-member needle cleanup squad, complete with its very own minivan. And crucially, there's now the new $830,977 a year poop patrol to actively hunt down and clean up poop. Well, poop. San Francisco Chronicle casually notes in parentheses, by the way, the poop, as you were. By the way, the poop patrollers earn $71,760 a year, which swells to $184,678 with mandated benefits. So, there you have it. That's all I'm going to say about that. Unbelievable. Okay. That's right, Dan. I could be a pooper scooper for that guy. I mean, damn right. Oh. All right, what's next? Navy veteran. Here's a good one. I like this story. I love these happy stories. Navy veteran jumps over the court railing and sends convicted sex offender who abused his child to the hospital. Yes, now there's a veteran that's a hero. That one we can definitely support. While attending the sentence hearing for Donald Biggs, a former youth pastor who admitted to sexual misconduct with female minors, the father of one victim jumped over the railing and attacked Biggs. And because of the attack, not only was the sentence hearing postponed, but Biggs was sent to the hospital after being punched and falling into the fetal position. Biggs had pleaded guilty to transporting a minor with intent to engage in criminal sexual activity, along with secretly recording young girls changing clothes, showering, and using the bathroom in his home. The man who attacked Biggs was identified as Kevin Smith, a father to one of Biggs' victims, Navy victim, personal Facebook. He was arrested and charged with a misdemeanor for obstructing judicial admission, fourth-degree assault, and second-degree disorderly conduct. After being cleared by the hospital, Biggs returned to the courthouse Thursday and was sentenced to 15 years and 8 months for his crime. See, I got to applaud the guy for doing this. He's going to get in a lot of trouble. We're talking felonies here, unless they're sympathetic and he happens to get off there. The guy would have gotten the same amount. You know, Biggs, the pedophile, would have gotten 15 years and 8 months no matter what. So, you know, unless you can get satisfaction out of sending him to the hospital and having him come back in the same day, it would have been one thing if he'd have put him in a coma or something. But to punch his lights out and they go to the hospital and he comes right back the same day and gets sentenced, that's not worth risking a felony over. I gotta applaud him for having the guts to stand and do that, you know. God bless him, but I just don't think it was the wisest thing you could do. This is a veteran now that's going to lose his Second Amendment rights. He's going to lose his voting rights. It's just not going to work out well for him. So think about these things when you. I'm one to be talking. I've always, let my temper and emotions kind of lead me to do things that I've later regretted, and then I've gotten a hell of a lot better over the last 30 years. But, for the first 30, 35 years or so of my life, I was not one to be offering any criticism here for something like this. But anyway, I guess you guys have heard that, Steven Tyler from Aerosmith. This came out a while back when not too long ago, where Steven Tyler has asked President Trump not to play any of his songs during his rallies and stuff because it could ruin his image. Really? Have you seen any pictures of Steven Tyler lately?
I think his image is pretty well shot anyway. But apparently,
this hasn't worked out for Steven Tyler either. I guess he was the victim of a massive backlash on social media after he had met. He actually got a lawyer presented Trump with a cease and desist order letter from his attorney, and warning him of legal ramifications if he kept playing his music. Now,
this is kind of dumb to me. I'm living proof that even bad publicity is good for business. Of course, when we put the sign up in Pine Top, we didn't get a whole lot of bad publicity, but we got some. And did it hurt my business? Let me tell you unequivocally, no. It really did not hurt my business. Not even a little bit. Not in the least tiny bit did it hurt my business. How do you expect that, what you got? I have breaking news here. this is something. Maybe I forgot about this. There's a picture here of Steven Tyler in 2014 standing there with Donald and Melania. I don't know if they're in the White House or where they're at there. But he's standing there all tattooed out and grinning like a possum there with his hand on Donald Trump's shoulder. And it was okay then, but thank you. But now that he's president, and I guess he thinks that he's going to somehow become more wildly popular than he already was because he's asked, well, it ain't working out for him.
It ain't working out for him at all. I guess he's had to come out with some kind of an apology here and try to get some of his listeners back. So, and that's good. I'm glad that he's experiencing this backlash. That's awesome. Yeah. All right, how are we going? Let me go back. Can we look at the chat room here? Steven Tyler, never heard of her. Yeah, no. I'll tell you what, that's right, Yakima Glock. There's no such thing as bad publicity. That's a damn fact.
But, I like Steven Tyler. I did until this came out. I've always liked Aerosmith ever since I was a kid. I mean, they've been around for a long, long time. And, I will not, at this point, buy anything new from them. And I'll tell you this, as I've said about so many artists and celebrities. And I've had, it's kind of like the Yeti coolers, where people were blowing them up and chopping them up and banging them with sledgehammers on. You already own it. You've already done the damage. You've already sent the money to the company. Why are you tearing up your $300 cooler? So don't buy any new ones. And there's people out there throwing CDs away because people have done things like Steven Tyler's done. You don't automatically start disliking music when somebody does something like this. I don't guess. I mean, I don't see why. You know, there's a lot of people that I will not, under any circumstances, buy movies, pay for, you know, Netflix or anything. Well, we got rid of Netflix anyway, but won't spend any money on them. However, if I find one in a used bin at the Goodwill or wherever, these people are not going to make any money off of that. That money's already been made. That ship's already sailed. So that doesn't hurt anything. I'm not going to quit listening to Aerosmith. I'm never, ever going to buy anything unless he comes out with a huge public apology and says, what a moron I am, and then not what I am, know what he is, then there will be no more money spent on Aerosmith. But we've always got Uncle Ted to fall back on. Uncle Ted has,
he's making up for it. All right, let's see. We got another thing here. Hopefully we can get to it. All right. This one kills me. You know, we teach, or at least I did, I taught my kids, not that they're doing it now, that they're teenagers, but, well, actually, three of them are not even teenagers anymore. But you're taught in, you know, before school and during school and all that, that you talk to your elders and your teachers and your, you know, Sunday school teacher or whatever. It's yes, sir, yes, ma'am, and all this. Well, a North Carolina boy was just punished, this brand new story, for calling the teacher ma'am at school. He was sentenced to write ma'am on a piece of paper many, many, many times as punishment for calling his teacher ma'am. Remember I told you about the meme here? When did I tell you about that? Last Wednesday? About the meme out there where the cartoon fireman kicked the door in and says, "I'll save you, ma'am." And she screams at him and get this ugly face and says, "Are you assuming my gender?" And the next one, he's walking out of the thing and he told his chief, you know, she was already dead when I found her. You know, these people are, oh man, I don't know. I don't get it. Anyway, this 10-year-old boy has been punished for calling his teacher ma'am. He was sent home from school. Said he seemed like he was upset after leaving the bus. I don't know if he was sent home from school, but anyway. And she said, I asked him what happened. He said he got in trouble for saying yes, ma'am. And his mother didn't understand. What do you mean? How do you get in trouble for saying yes, ma'am? What in the heck? Maybe to a male principal or something. But the kid showed her a piece of paper with the word ma'am written dozens of times by hand, four times on every line. It doesn't say how many times he wrote it, but the boy said his teacher made him write it because he continued to call her ma'am after she asked him not to. Well, they ask you not to once, well, maybe you shouldn't do it anymore. But like so many others, like pretty much everybody in the South, except maybe some of these millennials coming up now, they were all taught to say yes, ma'am, no, ma'am, whatnot. They said this kid was hospitalized last month in a seizure-related incident that has affected, you know, involving some memory loss. They said that may have contributed to the misunderstanding in school. But misunderstanding, no misunderstanding by on the kid's part, why was this teacher on this kid for saying yes, ma'am? The teacher, the school said they weren't aware of the kid's condition, but the teacher still expressed disappointment. It wasn't right. It wasn't professional. Let's see, the teacher wasn't aware. The teacher, he said it wasn't appropriate. The parent was asked to sign the paper as part of the punishment. Yeah, boy, you know what happened if he'd come brought that paper home for me to sign? You would not have wanted to read my signature. I'll tell you, it would have been a long one. Anyway, it's I guess it's been handed over to the principal there, and there's don't know what the outcome of this is going to be. But anyway. Oh, this kind of stuff just kills me. yeah, Doc, that's that probably would have went over better, man. AZ Bound said he liked to watch them.
It is fun watching. There were some pretty good videos of blowing up that Yeti stuff. There was some Tannerite and whatnot. But that just seems awfully dumb to me that you take a $500-and-some-odd cooler and blow it up just because you're mad at Yeti. Don't buy another one. Take care of the one you got. You've already spent the money. That's cutting your nose off to spite your face. That's just dumb. Okay, before we leave, let me remind everybody here, we haven't got a lot of participation on this, but we've got some. On the 31st of this month,
I will be ordering the survival tabs, $29 a bottle, shipped to your door. We've got a few. We've got enough to make the order, so whether you order or not, I'm still going to order them. If you want in on this, you can either go to my Facebook page, not my Facebook page, my website, at, hang on a minute. Figure out what I'm doing wrong here. Go to my website, go to southwestshootingauthority.com, go to the online store, find the survival tabs. On the online store, you have to buy them in multiples of three. But that's better than before. You had to buy them in multiples of five. And we got quite a bit of participation on that. So $29 a bottle. You can buy, you know, mix and match however you want. You can buy three chocolate, three strawberry, three vanilla, three butterscotch, whatever you want to do. And that is the full cost shipped to your door. That takes care of any PayPal fees or credit card fees or whatever. So I'm ordering on the 31st. If I don't have the orders in by probably around 11 o'clock or noon on the 31st, it's not going to happen. I mean, it's going to happen. I'm still going to order them, but you're not going to get yours if I don't get that order in here pretty quick. Everybody here, I think, is quite aware of what survival tabs do and how marvelous. I just used some yesterday, as a matter of fact. Was it yesterday? No, it must have been Saturday. That I've got to keep survival tabs in the truck. And if I'm busy and I can't get away to go have lunch, or, you know, can't stop to eat a lunch that I've brought, or whatever the case may be, I'll just grab, you know, three or four of those survival tabs and put them in my shirt pocket and chew them up as I'm doing my thing and drink some water. And I may feel that little bit of emptiness as far as hunger goes, but I will be, my strength and energy and stamina and everything will be every bit as good as if I'd stop to eat a decent meal. So I know Amy carries some in her purse. We both have them in the glove box of our trucks. And yeah, well, Doc, I guess these people that, go out on these long trips and stuff, the Yeti coolers are amazing coolers. I'll have to tell you that. I'll never buy one. But, there's something else. The ones that pay $400 or $500, these are big coolers. And they are pretty amazing. So for people that can go out and be gone for a long time, I guess they're worth it to them. Speaking of that, we have Labor Day weekend coming up. I kind of doubt, no, I'm just going to tell you right now, I'm going to try to pre-record a Liberty Lounge for you, a new one, because it is Labor Day weekend and I'm pretty sure we're going to be gone camping. Not positive yet, but I'll let you know if I'm here. There'll be a live show. If I'm not, there won't. But I'll know by Wednesday for sure what's going to be going on Friday. All right. All right, we'll run about 20 minutes over here, so let me just go ahead and get ready to sign off here. And we'll see you guys Wednesday night. A lot of stuff going on with the primaries here in Arizona tomorrow. Primaries happening all over the country. I seriously do expect things to start heating up a little bit. From various factions, whether it's just, you know, liberals and conservatives, or whether it's the more ambitious liberals, Antifa or whoever it may be. I think we're going to see some things start to build a little bit, and by November, it could be pretty exciting. But we'll find out. And we've got too long to wait. All right, I'm going to scoot on out of here right now, and we will see you guys on Wednesday. Thank you. Wait, I wasn't ready. Wait. Now I'm ready.
Well, that wraps up another edition of the Shooting Bench. Join me Monday and Wednesday from 8 to 10 p.m. Pacific, and again on Fridays from 7 to 10 for the Shooting Bench. Good night, and thanks for joining us.